interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you. And it is a Monday, May 20 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking off on 1037 The Game. Of course, we'll talk more than just football. So maybe we're playing ball. We're tipping off as well. Ben Love and the famous Clint D with you until 6:35. And that's when Astro Launch takes off. Stros coming off 2 out of 3 in Boston. Resume play tonight. But for the next 2 hours, 32 minutes and change, we got you. Taking you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Busy show today. And no, we're not going split screen. We're going, as we lead off, with the revolving door theme. Because there's a lot of that right now at LSU. More coming in than potentially going out. But let's explore that topic. We'll take your calls as well. 706-0111. I know that it's baseball season. I know that we just had spring football. And yet with basketball, there seems to be a lot of movement coming in the revolving door. Trendon Watford. And that happened about an hour and a half ago. 6'9", 230-pound, 5-star, has committed to LSU. And so you can now make it a 3-man class. James Bishop, Charles Manning, and Trendon Watford. He'll be the jewel of this 2020 LSU class. It will not resemble in any way, shape, or form last year's group that featured Emmett Williams, Darius Days, Naz Reid, and then another young man who we're about to mention when it comes to the revolving door. But make no mistake about it, this is a big get for Will Wade and LSU. Bill Armstrong had a really good connection with this young man. It went back to Armstrong's days at Ole Miss, some other places around the country. But that relationship won out, despite the fact that Memphis and Penny Hardaway pushed awfully hard. And if you're reading the trades these days, Penny's getting about any kid that he wants. Memphis has an incredible signing class that's coming in right now. Kind of a little bit like LSU's was last year. But Trendon Watford chose LSU over Alabama, Indiana, and Memphis, amongst others. So coming in the revolving door, Trendon Watford. Coming back into the revolving door, well, it's that fourth member of last year's LSU recruiting class that I didn't mention by name. Now I will. Baton Rouge native Javonte Smart announcing over the weekend he's back in for year two. It tells me a couple of things. Number one, it tells me that despite some potentially bad advice at first, Javonte Smart was set straight on what his pro prospects are right now. More importantly, it tells me that with the reinstatement of Wade, Smart felt a lot more comfortable about returning to Baton Rouge. And maybe the other three that are out there dangling will follow suit. But this certainly gives LSU a much-needed piece in the backcourt. You're not going to get Trey Waters back for a junior season. He just came off a pretty darn big scouting combine in Chicago. It's the second time he's put his name in. Trey Waters wants to play professional basketball. Where he'll play, at what level, that's a different story. I think he's got a chance to possibly get on in the NBA. A lot of people kind of like the idea of Trey Waters and, well, Zion Williamson in New Orleans. Different topic for different show. But when it comes to Javonte Smart, this is big. He'll be handed the reins of this offense. It will look a lot different than the one that was led by Trey Waters. I don't think Javonte is quite as natural of a distributor. I know he's not quite the shooter as Trey Waters, but he got better in that area last year. Javonte did than what I remember from his days as a Scotlandville magnet player. Javonte shot it better last year than I remember. But he's dynamite at knifing through lanes. He'll be one of the best dribble penetration guys at that position in the SEC next year. So, again, Trendon Watford in the revolving door. Javonte Smart back in. And speaking of Scotlandville, we'll make a little Hornets connection here. From Javonte Smart to Kelvin Joseph, who is maybe out of the revolving door. But we're not quite sure yet. The news came earlier today. First, I saw it from Shea Dixon, go247.com. Kelvin Joseph entered the transfer portal. Now, you'll recall, we're number one for LSU last year, and they needed him because of some shortage at the cornerback position. Yes, there was Greedy Williams, but while they were trying to ramp back up Christian Fulton, Joseph was paramount. And even once Fulton was back on an island, they used him a lot in a nickel subset package. Joseph finished his freshman campaign, 12 tackles, one pass deflection. You'll recall he didn't play in the Fiesta Bowl, suspended for a violation of team rules. All that came out mid-morning, and the Twitter onslaught followed with a bunch of grown men, maybe even some grown women, questioning his heart and his toughness. That's pretty low-hanging fruit. Not saying they're right or they're wrong, but let's get the whole story before we go down that path. That's just my two cents. What's come this afternoon, Kelvin Joseph's father told Brody Miller, NOLA.com, can we still refer to them as the Times-Picayune? He told Brody Miller that his kid is staying. And Shea Dixon has since verified that today, Kelvin Joseph is in class at LSU taking an intercession course. So if indeed he plans to bolt, it hasn't been made really official yet. And so the reminder given by Shea, I'll pass it along to you now, is this gives an opportunity to test the market. He gets to receive feedback from other schools. I still believe, I've always read and heard, it's a 48-hour window, but I've been told I'm wrong about that, that you can have your name in the portal and leave it there. I don't know why you'd be allowed to do that on an ongoing, perpetual basis, but nonetheless, there will be feedback that Kelvin Joseph can get, and he'll see if he gets some nibbles. So, you know, he and LSU just aren't exclusive anymore. He's got his profile out there on Tinder, and he'll see if there are any swipes in the direction that he wants, and okay, fine. If that's the direction we're going with college football, college sports, and it seems we are, he's a potential free agent. But again, I described him as maybe out of the revolving door. We don't know about that one just yet. So that's our theme to open. But we have so much more to get to in the program today. Brooks Koepka takes home his second straight PGA Championship. Our only scheduled guest in hour number one will opine on that subject and more. Scott Rabelais of The Advocate at 4:45. If I'm not mistaken, Rab will be on his way driving to Hoover. So hopefully we catch him, you know, where there's some cell phone service. If he's in like that Midway Evergreen area, right, driving up I-65, God help us, trying to get a signal planted to do that interview. So hopefully he's maybe a little closer to Mobile and we'll get that bad boy in. But Scott Rabelais talking Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, and more at 4:45. At 5:15, Ruffin Rodrigue, he was supposed to be with us this last Friday. He's assured me it's going down today. Why? Because he's in Vegas. So how about that? We've had Ruffin Rodrigue live from Ireland, live from somewhere in Colorado, skiing with his family. Today it'll be Ruffin live from Sin City. Make sure you're around for that at 5:15. And at straight up 6 o'clock, we'll discuss the other big news of the last 24 to 36 hours. Trajan Langdon, the Alaskan assassin. A one-time Dookie, now one of the best up-and-comers in the front office in NBA circles. Well, he's jumping over lily pad to lily pad. He was with the Brooklyn Nets. He will be the GM of your New Orleans Pelicans. That is really big news. At 6 o'clock, we go to New Orleans. Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots, going to tell us all about it. Plus, the trading partner he thinks makes the most sense if AD is still going to be on his way out. So Scott Rabelais, Ruffin Rodrigue, Shamit Dua, and plenty of time for you on the other side of this break. Call us up. Let's get after it on a Monday. 706-0111. The number to play. This, of course, is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Mm-hmm. one of those days that are frustrating about baseball. It's the great thing about baseball, and it's also the worst thing. You know, you got to get all 27 outs. We got, I think, 25 of them. And you know, sometimes it works out in our favor that way, and sometimes it works against. You know, you just can't run the clock out on them.
Paul Maneri on the two-run bomb in the ninth on Saturday. Auburn tied it up with LSU and then took it in extras. But the Tigers, the LSU breed of Tigers, did take 2 of 3 and an important step heading into this weekend's SEC tournament. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Between now and 4:45, we'd love to hear from you. 706-0111. Tigers won 2 out of 3. Cajuns won 2 out of 3. Both will play winner-go-home games tomorrow. Now, the Cajuns' winner-go-home game is a little more dire than LSU's. UL tomorrow plays App State, first pitch scheduled for 6:30. Tony Robichaud announced earlier today Brandon Young will get the start in that game. Cajuns lose that one, or basically at any point between now and Sunday, and that is the end of their season. We'll get back to UL momentarily. As for LSU, you heard Maneri there. He talked about the two-run tater given up by Zach Hess, and that's one of the main cogs that is just not right within that LSU wheel right now. Hess, his role, it's been ever-changing. I don't think a young man of his mental makeup loses confidence terribly easy. That's just not my perception of Zach Hess. But I'm not sure that his identity has been intact. Maybe that's a different way of putting it. I don't know that that's confidence. It's just familiarity, comfort. And as they headed to the SEC tourney in Hoover, there's probably still a little bit of work to be done to secure a regional host bid. LSU awfully close, up to number 16 in just about every conceivable poll. D1 Baseball, Baseball America, a lot of the rags out there online still have LSU in what would be considered safe territory to host at this point. But it wouldn't hurt to win two games in Hoover. LSU will start by playing a single elimination game tomorrow. First pitch expected for 8 p.m., but it's the final game of the day, so good luck timing that one out or guessing a starting time. But again, they're projecting 8 p.m. from Hoover. It'll be LSU, South Carolina in the Tuesday finale. And the other thing we learn, Cajuns will be starting Brandon Young. On the LSU side, Maneri has disclosed that they're going to start Cole Henry. And while Jaden Hill and Caleb Gilbert are making the trip but will not pitch, you get to travel with a few more going to the SEC tourney. That's all that's about. Cole Henry will return from a few weeks' absence and get the nod. Maneri said earlier today he's hoping for 3 innings out of the freshman from Alabama returning to his home state. They need him. Can't turn around with Eric Walker. Can't rely on Landon Marceau, at least not in big chunks. Is it possible that you can spell Henry with one of those guys? Maybe Walker in particular, who pitched on Thursday with the rest of Tuesday night? Maybe. But Cole Henry, if he can give 3 innings, give up 1 run or fewer, would put LSU in an awfully good position. But what I will tell you is this. That was a pretty darn good way to end the regular season, at least from the way things felt. LSU losing, what was it, 4 in a row? Then they won 3 in a row before falling apart a little bit late with Zach Hess on Saturday. Still, I told you at Rufino's on the River Friday, in the aftermath of Eric Walker helping get a win on Thursday night, I said they need to split. They did that. And they basically got to a point where they were on the cusp of sweeping this series. This team has had that type of storyline all season long. Awfully close to sweeping. Awfully close to finishing with a flurry. Hopefully that doesn't become the entire story for LSU. I do know this. They're going to need Zach Hess to get back to at least some semblance of what he was, well, you tell me when. When they made that run 2 years ago and he was the closer, I'm not sure he's getting that job back. Nor does he deserve it at this point. But they are going to need Hess to be at least serviceable when called upon. I'm going to let you hear from LSU senior pitcher right now. Or excuse me, he was a draft-eligible sophomore last year, so a junior now. Here is Hess, what he had to say after LSU lost to Auburn on Saturday.
I thought our team played a great game. I told them out there, don't let what happened, don't let my failure keep the momentum from going forward from here on out, because we're playing really good baseball right now. That one is 100% on me. I have to be better, and I have to get myself figured out. Can't keep coming in at the end of games and blowing leads like this. And I'm going to get it figured out.
So it's good that he owns up to it, and there's some accountability. We'll see if that translates into some leadership. And more importantly, look, I'll take you straight to a Major League 2 reference. Rick the Wild Thing Vaughn needs to stop talking about his career. He needs to shave the lightning bolt into the back of his scalp again, and he needs to get rid of the Armani for the sawed-off leather jacket. He needs to come out there just firing diesel gas. It's no longer your job to stretch out for three or four innings. And I think Maneri is going to find ways to stop using him in some of those situations. Now, Paul didn't do that on Saturday, so I'm not faulting Maneri for what he did this weekend. But long-term, since they moved him to the bullpen, they've asked for more than just high-leverage situations. They've needed to stretch him. Hopefully they won't need to going forward. But I mentioned earlier, Cole Henry will get the start tomorrow. Jaden Hill, Caleb Gilbert making the trip but will not pitch. One other bit of an update that I could share with you. Trent Ventmeyer, Maneri's not optimistic that he will return this season. So, again, Hill, Gilbert out for this trip, at least in terms of availability to pitch. Trent Ventmeyer almost certainly done for the season, but Cole Henry is coming back, and they're going to ramp him up at least somewhat slowly. Now, speaking of LSU and UL, there was some honors doled out today. Landon Marceau, for his efforts on Friday, named the SEC co-freshman of the week. How about seven innings of one-run baseball? Gave up only the two hits against Auburn. The Cajuns, they had one of their own that was honored as well. Hunter Castles, he went 6-for-6 with 5 ribbies and 3 runs scored. By the way, that was just in Saturday's game. He's the first in program history to accomplish that feat. For his efforts, Castles was named the Sunbelt Player of the Week. Really cool. And when you talk about honors, maybe this will be a motivation for LSU as we go back and forth, LSU to UL. No LSU players on the All-SEC first team. Antoine Duplantis, the only Tiger that was named to the second team. How about that? On the Cajun side, Hayden Cantrell, Todd Lott, named first team All-Sunbelt performers. Former SDM Cougar Oren Vaillant was named second team. So, Clint, as we've got another moment or two in this segment, give me your outlook on the Cajuns. Because last we spoke on Friday, they had already clinched a berth in the Sunbelt Conference tournament by virtue of, I think, Arkansas State losing Thursday in extras. Now we know where they're at. They're going to play. Before you turn my mic off, what do you think about that matchup and then what could come next?
I think what could come next, I think you need to be able to get out of that first round. And the next round is going to be dependent on what happens with the lower seed. If you wind up seeing the number 7 seed South Alabama win, you're going to be facing Texas State. And I don't like those odds if you're playing Texas State in round number 2, because my goodness, they took you to the woodshed just a few short weeks ago. So honestly, I think the outlook for the Cajuns, it's a little bleak, but I wouldn't be surprised if some magic kind of comes around in Conway, South Carolina, based off of what I've seen from the Cajuns in the last like 3 weeks.
What is the single most determining factor that gives you confidence a run could be in the making for UL?
The biggest thing for me, it's the offense, Ben. We talk about it a lot, how this team has been built around a pitching staff for the last several years. This year, more than ever, they've needed an offense to win ball games. You look at the ULM game on Saturday where they allowed 26, where they hit 26 hits, ran in about 19 of them, and wound up winning in a mercy rule game on Saturday. I got to say, that alone shows me there's a lot of confidence in this offense, this hitting staff is going to wind up getting some things done on the dish. I think that's all you need to have happen for the Cajuns to wind up making a run.
That's what gives you confidence in UL, and, well, what a segue it turns out to be. On the other side of this break, I'm curious if there's a vibe or a feeling for YP, you people out there in listener land, on a Monday, you get a good feeling about LSU's chances of making a run in the 2019 postseason. Again, there won't be as much on the line for LSU tomorrow as there is for UL. but it's still an awfully important game. I feel pretty confident if LSU loses on Tuesday in the SEC tournament to South Carolina, they won't host a regional. I know it's not as simple as the numbers, right? This gets political, this gets financial, all of those things, and those factors, those are wins that always blow in LSU's favor. I get that part. But I'm not sure that LSU would rightfully deserve a regional if they bow out in a single elimination Tuesday game in Hoover. That said, that's usually not Paul and Company's MO when they head to Alabama this time of year. They typically perform awfully well in this tournament. So if Cole Henry can stake them to any kind of a start, can they make a run? And then can they continue it into early June? I'll ask you that question and take your pulse on the other side of this break. You're listening to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint taking you home on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Back in from break, and we're going to talk some more baseball. At least I think. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love, Clint Domingue with you on a Monday on 103.7 The Game. You want to call in? We got time. 706-0111. I want to get back to LSU baseball, and we will. Don't forget, in about 10 minutes, we'll talk with Scott Rabelais. Excited to get his take on Brooks Koepka, the PGA Championship, and the future for Koepka. All that coming at you later in this hour. But right now, hey, they say if you build it, they will come. If they call, we should take it. And aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, it is Chad. Chad, I hear that you had a chance meeting over the weekend.
Yeah, man, it was a great, man. Everybody was taking pictures with Will Wade Saturday night. Ran across from the box seats, and I saw my kid's jersey. And one of the guys that we were with, man, says, LSU can be okay basketball. He gave a nice wink and said, we ain't going nowhere. And they just signed the biggest guy today from Alabama. So, man, I think the whole thing's dead in the water with Will Wade. I don't think nothing's going to happen to this kid, man. If nothing happened to the Arizona coach so far, I think they were going after bigger fish. But he had a big smile on his face. People were taking pictures. Seemed in a great mood. And like I said, we just signed one of the biggest prospects coming out the South. In recent memory, man. But anyway, Ben, I'm going to hang up and keep listening to your show, my friend. Thank you.
Chad, that's a cool story. And I love the fact that he's out there interacting with the people. I know that Jacques Doucet had pictures of him supporting Beth Tarina LSU softball at a Tiger Park. Look, I'm all for things going right for LSU basketball, just like I'm all for things going right for the Pels, for UL. I support local high school basketball. I hope this thing does go well for LSU and Wade, and I hope that everybody can keep their head above water. You're right. It's absolutely looking better now than it was. I don't declare that whole thing dead, but, you know, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to play that game right now, so I'm not going to bite on that. But what I will tell you is that Trendon Watford signing today is a big deal. Five-star prospect, number 17 overall prospect in the country. I wouldn't go so far as to say he's one of the best to come out of the Deep South in the last couple of years. You know, they've had some pretty good talent, but he's fringe being in that type of territory. He's not far from Naz Reid territory as far as national recognition, right? Number 17 overall, Reid wasn't too far coming out of New Jersey from that type of area. And I've already been asked, how does he compare to Reid? They're a different style of player. I think Reid has a better NBA future than Watford, but I will tell you, it would be a disappointment if Watford came in and didn't start right away. I'll translate that statement for you. He's going to be one of LSU's best five players, and he's going to start. He's 6'9", 230 pounds. I think he's going to fit in perfectly in a Naz Reid-less LSU team. We'll see what happens with Emmett Williams. But assuming Emmitt comes back, those two would look awfully good together, crashing the glass. It would give LSU one of the best, especially offensive rebounding tandems in the SEC. So, yes, LSU is not bringing in a class in 2020 that compares to what they had in 2019, but it is going to help to address a lot of needs. The kid out of the Baltimore area can play. This kid, Watford, can really play. I don't think he's quite the get that Naz Reid is, but he's awfully close. And if you give even 90% of the productivity that Reid gave LSU, well, look out. And so this is a big-time get today for Will Wade and LSU basketball. All right, going to switch it up. I appreciate the call from Chad. That was a cool story. We got time for more. Anybody else out there who ran into somebody? Or if you just want to talk LSU baseball, give us a holler. 706-0111. Otherwise, Clint, first the music and then the question.
Love, exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day. Is this LSU baseball team suddenly poised to make a postseason run? Call in. Give me one word. Could be sink, could be swim, but then we'll ask for you to elaborate. CD, you've got honors. Are they making a run?
I'm going swim here, but I'm swimming with a lot of caution because a lot like what we saw with the College World Series team just a couple of years ago where a lot of the hopes and dreams kind of laid upon one arm and one arm only, and that was Eric Walker for the most part. I think the hopes and dreams of this team definitely rely a lot on Cole Henry and his arm staying healthy. Because imagine if LSU makes a run in this SEC tournament, which they've been privy to do in the past. I think that's going to be a big thing is what happens with Cole Henry. I'm swimming, but that's the biggest thing that's kind of keeping me from swimming with a lot of confidence.
I'm in a similar area. What in the world was that? I'm in a similar place, CD. Not playing random sounders, but I'm in a similar place as far as swimming with caution. I do think that this team was built to play in late May and in June. I do think that Mineri's teams typically take it up a notch around these times. I do think that getting back Cole Henry is a big deal. But what I don't know is if some of the problems that have ailed them this entire season – pitching depth, pitching help, or health, I should say, excuse me. I don't know if those things have been rectified yet. It's a vote of confidence and a shot in the arm that Cole Henry is returning on maybe a two or three inning basis to start tomorrow's game. But you still don't have any promise that Jaden Henry, Caleb Gilbert, Trent Vitmeyer, and some of the others are returning. You still don't have any promise that Zach Kess is anything approaching his best. And so a lot of the same issues that they've been dealing with all season long, I'm just not sure that they've gone away. There are so many arms that at one point or the other, they've either been able to rely on or have been able to kind of point to as promise for the future that either aren't delivering now because of performance issues, health, whatever it may be. Mikhail Hilliard's another guy with throwing to that whole grouping. There are a million reasons why some of these guys aren't what they used to be or what they were kind of built up to be. And I'm not going to bag on the kids because, look, like I said, there are different reasons. Saving yourself for the pros, kind of yo-yoing back and forth between roles. There are a lot of different reasons. But there's something about this time of year, and especially the tournament in Hoover, where I think it's foolish to bet against LSU. And if they can win two or more games in Hoover, and the pitching kind of stacks up as best it can for what would be a home regional, they're going to play in a super. I'll just tell you that right now. That's my projection. If I were a betting man right now, I would say LSU wins 2 to 4 games, probably 2 or 3, in Hoover. They host a regional, they win it, and they probably roll snake eyes in the supers. That, to me, would constitute as a run. And I think on the verge of a near sweep against Auburn, they've given some reason for optimism there. I'll let you chew on it a little bit. When we return, going to switch it up. Talk to a guy who's driving toward Hoover. God bless his soul. But we're going to him for PGA Championship reaction. We're going to talk Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, and more. Scott Rabelais when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
To the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
How stressful that round was. How stressful DJ made that. That was probably definitely, I know for a fact, that was the most excited I've ever been in a long, ever in my life right there on 18.
Wow.
There you have it. That's Brooks Koepka. Second straight year, he has brought home the Wanamaker Trophy, winning the PGA Championship. This may be chicken or the egg stuff here. I'm not sure if DJ, Dustin Johnson's the one that made it exciting, or Koepka was with some of his play down the stretch. Maybe we'll get the take of an expert right about now. Bumper to Bumper Sports back with you on 103.7 The Game. And quickly, let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Sports columnist for The Advocate, Scott Rabelais, good enough to join us. How are you, Scott?
Ben, I'm well. Thank you.
So who made that interesting? Was it Koepka, bogeys, in eight holes into the wind, or was Dustin Johnson responsible for the excitement?
Oh, it definitely was all on Brooks Koepka yesterday. I mean, he had the ability to control the whole tournament, starting with a seven-stroke lead, and Dustin Johnson had to, you know, had to make something happen and put a little pressure on him. But if Koepka had just had played, you know, he shot a 70 on Saturday. If he does that, he wins by going away instead of by two. So it definitely was Koepka. But you know, it's very tough to play with the lead. It's easier to take chances and be bold and go for things instead of, you know, there were times Koepka was just hitting for the middle of greens because there's no reason not to, and it's the kind of catch 22 of golf that, you know, you can't take those chances that help you get a big lead once you have a big lead. and that's kind of where Brooks found himself, and then he got on that bogey train and was lucky to get off when he did, because it could have been even worse for him, but he won and you know, the wire-to-wire PGA champion ends up being a very impressive performance.
Scott, Koepka has now won his first four majors in a two-year span. It's remarkable. And it feels like to me within the last half decade, we've seen Rory McIlroy make a run toward the top, maybe not able to sustain it. Ditto for a guy like Adam Scott. Does this feel more sustainable for you, what Brooks Koepka is doing?
It's a very good question. I think he, you know, because he kind of looks like a latter-day Ben Hogan. You know, he's doesn't show a lot of emotion out on the golf course. He's very stoic and steady, and just goes about his business of just taking the part of golf course. It's very good, but you know, it's like, and what he's done already is, can be a career. You know, I mean, four majors. Probably already got him in the Hall of Fame, you know, because it's that's a career full of achievements, and to do it in a 2-year span, you know, quicker than I think just about anyone, is very remarkable. And then you add on the fact that he had a really bad wrist injury late in the 2017 season, missed the 2018 Masters. Everybody talks about winning four of the last eight majors. He missed last year's Masters because he was out with his injury, didn't come back until the Zurich Classic last year. Actually, it was his first tournament back, and then he won the U.S. Open and the PGA in 2018. So, you'd be silly to bet against him. I mean, the U.S. Open goes to Pebble Beach next, and it's not a course anyone will overpower. It's shorter. It's going to be tight. It's got very slick undulating greens, and there could be a lot of wind and not much rain that time of year. And California, so it's going to be a different kind of test. And then the British Open is just a crapshoot. I mean, so much depends on the draw you get and the kind of weather you have. But as far as anyone playing right now, how they're playing, it's a really impressive achievement and something that's been very rare in golf.
Talking PGA Tour with Scott Rabelais, a sports columnist for The Advocate. And you mentioned Pebble Beach. Tiger Woods has had success, certainly, on that course. He missed the cut at the PGA Championship by one stroke after winning the Masters in Augusta. What do you make out of his arc and maybe opportunity to compete at Pebble Beach?
I think, first of all, it's going to be very interesting to see if he plays between now and the U.S. Open, which will be, you know, Father's Day weekend, you know, third, about a month. You know, this, I don't know how many tournaments between now and there, three or four. Because he didn't play between the Masters and the PGA Championship. And usually he'll play at least one tournament in between there. But I don't think he was quite right physically. You know, he said he was a little ill. You know, he didn't even practice on Wednesday before the PGA. Now, of course, as you said, he had won there. He'd played Bethpage Black before in the U.S. Open a couple of times. But you got to knock that rust off, and that was something he wasn't able to do. I think we'll see what, you know, like Tiger can win. He can win. He obviously can win anywhere when he plays. But people shouldn't expect him to dominate anymore. He's a guy who's 43 years old, who's had a lot of knee and back surgeries, and he's not going to, you know, the Masters was maybe the perfect storm for him to compete and win. That said, it's hard to ignore the fact that he won the U.S. Open by 15 strokes at Pebble Beach back in 2000. But that was a much different Tiger Woods. There was a 24-year-old who had yet to go through. He maybe had like one, his knee scoped one time in college at that point or something like that. Since then, he's had like six surgeries. So, but yeah, you'd be foolish to count him out. But I think Brooks Koepka has, I read he surpassed Tiger as the pre-tournament favorite, and rightly so. But Tiger will be one of the favorites, so a guy bears watching. But it also bears watching to see if he plays somewhere then out. And you expect he's going to play in Memorial. He usually always plays that tournament, Jack Nicklaus tournament in Columbus, Ohio. He doesn't play there. That's a bit of a red flag.
Got to catch up with you on a different front, Scott. I know you're en route to Hoover, so where have your travels taken you so far?
It's taken us as far as a Starbucks in Slidell. So we're coming to you from right now. We had media availability at LSU before the team left this afternoon, before they took a bus up to Hoover. So we're getting a little late start on the road, but we're heading up there right now.
These are busy times, I don't have to tell you. So LSU baseball playing in Hoover. LSU softball, for the fifth straight season, Scott, has made a super regional. What do you make out of what they continue to accomplish under Beth Tarina?
Well, I think Beth is one of the best coaches they have at LSU, and this is a team that, you know, had to retool a bit. You know, they lost their two key pitchers from last year's team, and they had the pitching is not quite as good as it was, but they really are a good power hitting team, and they go to Minnesota, who is good. They're a number seven national seed. LSU's a 10, but I wouldn't put it past LSU to be able to win. You know, they've won two super regionals on the road, and you know, in this run of, you know, they've made the Women's College World Series three of the last 4 years. Two of those were on the road at James Madison and at Florida State. They weren't able to win at Florida State last year. They went on to win the national title, but I think they got a very good chance of advancing again if they can hit. You know, they hit a real slump, real power shortage, power outage late in the season. They lost five games in a row. Seem to get that back in this regional. And they need that to keep going for them in Minneapolis, because they're not gonna beat you 2-1 or 1-0. It's not that kind of team. They need to score some runs. So if they can, I think they're going to be playing in Oklahoma City next week.
Well, the LSU baseball fans listening are hoping that you get to see a couple of games at least in Hoover for the sake of your trip. I hope you're not going up there for a 1-day turnaround. So I'll hope the same for your sake, Scott.
Yes, it's all about me. I hope the same thing too.
I appreciate you coming on. We got to touch a lot of different topics today. Scott, safe travels, and navigate Slidell the best you can.
We'll do. Thank you, Ben.
Scott Rabelais, sports columnist for The Advocate. I really thought, just based off a series of texts that he and I had earlier, that we'd be catching him at least in Mobile. Starbucks in Slidell. Getting Munson out there in the middle of nowhere, Clint.
Yeah, kind of getting in the middle of nowhere, and it's just amazing to kind of hear Scott Rabelais from a Starbucks over there. Luckily, we were able to have him on for the whole time, because I know that was one of your concerns. Maybe you kind of just hit a dead spot, especially in the interstate. We know those kind of pop up from time to time.
Dude, it used to happen to me all the time when I was a regular guest on people's radio shows.
Well,
all the stinking time.
Well, true story, we had Rabelais on before the Miami game on the producers. And that actually happened. It was like towards Opelousas. He caught like a dead spot. And I knew exactly where it was. Like, yeah, you're in Opelousas. Because once you get closer to the casino, like you lose reception for like a quick second.
The Bermuda Triangle of cell receptivity and latency. Hey, we got a cool note into the program before we get to our one final word. In our number one, connect some dots here. Chad called in earlier, had a Will Wade story from Saturday. Will texted the program, also saw Will Wade Saturday night at Furball in Baton Rouge. He was there. Text to the program reads, accompanying Wade Sims' mom, Faye, they set up a foundation that helps train dogs as special needs support dogs. Wade had a pit bull named Buddha, who's apparently a great dog. And so really, a pretty cool note there. And Will finished it by more or less saying, not sure what happens with Wade, but certainly appreciate his support of Companion Animal Alliance. So there you go. Friends in high places in Baton Rouge giving us the scoop. It is greatly appreciated. All right, back to that one final word. It was promised. Let's deliver.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Playoff dash level. Yeah, I'm turning that into one word. A lot of players from the Astros and Red Sox side in the midst of this past weekend series at Fenway described the atmosphere as playoff level. That's what I'm talking about. Two of the best in the AL, and they get to run it back at Minute Maid this weekend. Stros darn near took all three of those ball games. As it were, they took two of three, and before they lost yesterday, they ran a win streak up to 10 games for the second time this season. You're damn right, the Stros are playoff level good right now. That series was as well. That's pretty awesome for mid-May. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Between now, 6:35, when we send you to Astro Launch, we got you, taking you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Only one scheduled guest in the 5 o'clock hour, Ruffin Rodrigue, live from Vegas, baby, in about 12 minutes. You can't make this stuff up. It doesn't get any better than this. Hopefully, at least for the purposes of this interview, what happens in Vegas travels over the phone line to us and does not stay in Sin City. But if you want to call in, we've got time for you to lead off the 5 o'clock hour. 706-0111. We talked a good bit of LSU baseball in hour number one, and the sink or swim question of the day is still out there for you. Is this LSU team suddenly poised to make a postseason run? You want to take a stab there or at the Cajuns' chances of running the table at the Sun Belt Conference tournament? We'd love for you to do that. Clint shared his thoughts, his two cents in hour number one. The Cajuns might just be poised to make a mad dash at the SBC tourney because of their offense. And who would have thunk that? When it comes to Cajuns baseball and the way things have been in the last 3 or 4 years since a certain hitting coach took his talents westward. But LSU baseball, they're going to have to get it right and keep it right on the mound. Tremendous performances by both Eric Walker and Landon Marceau against Auburn. For his efforts, Marceau was named the SEC co-freshman of the week. But it started to fall apart a little bit in relief on Sunday. And it was Zach Kess who kind of let some water in the boat. Two-run homer, surrendered in the ninth. LSU lost in extras. They took two out of three in the series. They nudged closer toward hosting a regional, but I do believe it's going to take at least one win to feel okay. Two wins, you'll feel awfully good about LSU hosting and being a top 16 seed after the SEC tournament. What we do know about tomorrow's late-night game, the competition, South Carolina. The stakes, single elimination. I do feel if you lose this game, if you're LSU, you're not hosting a regional. And now we know at least who's going to start. Earlier today, Paul Maneri announced Cole Henry will be on the bump. Maneri, Alan Dunn, hoping for three innings. As far as the rest of the arms, who's available in this arms race, Jaden Hill, Caleb Gilbert are making the trip, as you could travel with a little more numbers to a tournament like this, but they won't pitch. Maneri also not terribly optimistic that Trent Vitmire will return at all this season. And so LSU's chances of hosting a regional in Baton Rouge and you seeing more baseball at the box, it's going to start with Henry, but it's not going to solely rest on his arm tomorrow. I would have to imagine, as I said in hour number one, that Eric Walker in relief for a couple innings would be an attractive candidate. I don't know how many eggs you can afford to put in the "we'll pitch him Wednesday night" basket. So Henry's going to start. Who gets the ball after him, we shall see. On the UL side of things, Cages are going to play App State tomorrow. First pitch scheduled for 6:30 p.m. And Tony Robichaud announced earlier today that Brandon Young will get the start for UL. Cages looked out and out dominant in Monroe. Yeah, they lost on Thursday, but they came storming back with two decisive victories Friday and Saturday. That includes Saturday's 19-8 mollywhopping of the Warhawks. Hunter Castles in that ball game did something no other Cajun has done before. Went 6-for-6, 5 ribbies, and 3 runs scored. For his efforts, he was named the Sun Belt Player of the Week. And so plenty of news to get to on the basketball front. I'll do that before we leave our opening segment. But on the baseball side, both LSU and UL are playing win-or-go-home games tomorrow. More stakes involved for the Cajuns. A single loss this week and their season is done. For LSU, it's about pole positioning and jockeying to get closer to hosting what would be a Baton Rouge regional. But let's get to the hoops side of things. We learned yesterday that Trajan Langdon is the new general manager of New Orleans Pelicans basketball. David Griffin is becoming a kingmaker in short order in the Crescent City. In case you haven't noticed, went out to Phoenix and plucked one of the best, if not the best, physical training staffs and physical training lead men in the association and brought them to New Orleans. Very sore spot, sore subject, frankly. You'll recall that Ochsner was basically removed some of their staff from the Saints side of things a couple of off seasons ago. And so a much needed shot in the arm from the PT side of things, really. That was first. Second, he knew the right dice to roll at the right time. Pels now have the first overall pick in the NBA draft and all the leverage in the world. And now he's got one of the best, brightest, up-and-coming front office execs in the NBA. And he's promoted him to be the general manager. You'll remember Trajan Langdon, I certainly did, as the Alaskan assassin. Downtown barrage shooter for Duke basketball, played with the likes of Elton Brand, a couple of teams that were really, really good, multiple-time All-American. Trajan Langdon has done a lot of things since then, including playing in Europe. Most recently, he has served as an assistant GM for the Brooklyn Nets. He spent time as well in the G League. All indications are he's got a nice eye for talent, and yeah, that's a lot of what that role's about. And he's going to get to cut his teeth in a newer, bigger job under David Griffin. So a real crackerjack staff that's being assembled in New Orleans, and how refreshing that is. Your other big hoops news of the day comes in the form of a commit / signee, and now it's been okayed by LSU compliance. Trendon Watford, 6'9", 230-pound power forward, a five-star from the Birmingham, Alabama area, the number 4 power forward in the country, number 17 overall recruit in the nation, in this 2019 cycle, has signed on the dotted line for LSU. And that's a big deal. Or excuse me, the 2020 cycle. but Watford picked LSU over Alabama. Probably didn't hurt that Avery Johnson walked out that door. Picked LSU over Indiana, a perennial power, and over Memphis. And again, I told you in hour number one, go peep the trades if you need any of the credentials that Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers are starting to gain on the recruiting front. So this is a big victory for LSU. And he'll combine with Manning and Bishop, two previous signees in the early period for the Tigers. It's a three-man class right now, but there's a chance that it's got some real upside. And the star member of said class is Trendon Watford. I think it's safe at this point to pencil him in as the starting power forward on this LSU team for 2019-2020. Big get for Wade and LSU. That you can be certain about. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. On a Monday, we are brought to you in large part by Relief Windows. When you think windows, doors, and siding in Acadiana, think Relief Windows. Visit the website, reliefwindows.com, or give them a call at a local area code, 337-456-1699. The wood windows at Relief Windows are manufactured by Geldwin. That means a lot of things, that you've got options in style and color, that it'll be custom-built specifically for your home, and that they use Orless technology. And that's going to come with a 20-year warranty. It treats the wood to the core rather than just the surface. Learn more at the website, reliefwindows.com. We're coming right back, and then we're going to Vegas. Ruff and Roderick on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
It just gets you in a good mood, doesn't it? Every time I hear that music, it doesn't hurt that we know that it means he's coming up next. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. He, of course, is Ruff and Roderick, and today he joins us live from Las Vegas, Nevada. How is Sin City, Ruffin?
It's actually not as sinful as it used to be, being that I changed my lifestyle a little bit with the alcohol, but it's pretty cool. I'm remembering a little too much, but it's good, man. Pool party all the way to meetings after meetings. Actually here, normally I'm at the restaurant show, but this is a real estate show that I want to learn a lot about, hotels and restaurants, different things and planning, and I have a pretty good eye for what does well. What fails? What does good? Want to learn a lot about it. So it's a great time.
So favorite establishment to frequent in Las Vegas? And look, it could be for a show that you're going to see. It could be to go and roll a little bit at the craps table. Where do you like to go when you're in Vegas?
Man, I love it's still a little too windy and cold right now, but I love the Fountains at Bellagio. It's kind of cheesy, but I get an energy out of that. It's really, really cool. The best show I've ever been to a fight was I got to see De La Hoya in one of his last fights a while back. And then tonight we're going to see the Chain Smokers. I'm sure that's going to be a pretty good deal. Went to see Drake last night.
Oh, wow.
Not real. I'm sorry, millennials. Really not real familiar with him, except for he was really intelligent, really good. That's it. Drake and Chainsmokers. And now I like their music because my daughter and I sing to it. Yeah.
It's not a bad deal. You got some good shows going on so far. Ruff and Roderick joining us live from Las Vegas. All right, some news back home. Kelvin Joseph has put his name into the transfer portal. His father has since told NOLA.com he's not going anywhere. Shay Dixon reporting he's in intercession classes now. But I'm curious your general feeling and thoughts about this transfer portal and the free agency that it's created in the college game.
It's inevitable. I hate it. Look, I'm is old school to where I wish they would never would have got rid of the college dorms. You know, I lived in Broussard Hall for 5 years. I mean, poor Tommy Hodson had to live with me, but I lived there. You know, it was a disciplined deal. They checked your curfew, we earned time. They've just changed a lot of things. And I guess, you know, they're grown men, but they have to learn how to grow up on their own a lot. And a guy like Kelvin Joseph, who, you know, I've heard of some maturity issues, you know, thinks he's better than he is, and this and that. He needs to work harder. You know, I will always bring up, and it's coincidence I talked to him today, but Kelvin Shepherd is my all-time greatest football player at LSU, in my opinion. Not from an athletic standpoint, not from anything. Leadership. He took that team on his shoulders when they needed it most. You know, and Kelvin Shepherd will be in my all-time list. I talked to him today. He's doing the same things in his 10th year or whatever in Miami, and he's still rolling. It's an attitude that is, you know, obviously your childhood and all that, but it's just going to change and change. And the money thing, it's going to – but you know what? You'll never get rid of it. Then you always have a job and always have something to talk about. Because people are going to pay to go watch college football and basketball. I'm sorry, they're going to do it. You know, especially football. It's too exciting. It's more exciting than the NFL by far. Look at the games last year, except for Alabama LSU. The hump, the hype was fun. You know, the drunkenness before the game and people coming up to me and licking my ear and that kind of thing. Yeah, that was fun. But it's college football, man. It's going to live and it's going to grow and grow, and it's going to be fun, man. That's got a good little team. You better watch them.
Well, everybody around these parts is pretty fired up, I think, after the recent Tiger Tour, right? So they had the coaches' caravan. They went all across Louisiana. And one of the things they continue to talk about, Ruff, is the fact that Burrow asked to put on some weight. He wants to be a little more road ready, if you will, for this season. And Tommy Moffitt told us a few weeks ago on this show, we're going to run him a good bit this year. So what's that mean to you in the future of this offense?
Well, hopefully you got a little stretch coordinator so you get his muscle stretch. Hope he did a little yoga, you know, get a little yoga lattes or whatever into it and get those hips and those that muscle memory stretched, because you don't want to get hurt. But putting on a little weight means muscle weight, and he wants a stronger arm. And, you know, he felt how fast those linebackers and how strong they were. He wants to be able to get that first down. And that's the key to winning games, getting first downs. And he thinks he can do it with his feet when he gets in trouble. So, hey, that's a Clemson win. That's Alabama win. Get a running back, get a quarterback that gets in trouble, and he runs for a first down, and all of a sudden it's a new series. So you win games.
So I got to tell you, we had a blast Friday at Rufino's on the River. Not only the graduation crowd that was there, they arrived early, they stayed late, but we had some fun. We had Southside High come in with their head football coach. This thing is turning into something, Ruffin, man. You guys always have a great crowd there, but they're coming into the bar now. And when you get to this time of year, you guys keep it comfortable out on the patio. It's a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, I can't wait to actually be in town and start coming to it and enjoying it. It's just for the last few weeks, it just kind of worked out to where with my kids, my son graduated in fifth grade, and my daughter having all these arts classes, and then the Vegas trip, and then, you know, it's always something. But I can't wait. I can't wait to come out there, have a good time, and talk a lot of sports. Hopefully we can get Billy on again. I don't know how many interviews he does that close, but I would love to have him on and really talk about the Cajuns. I'm excited about the Cajuns. I have a great feeling this year. It's going to be a breaking out party.
You know, along those lines, if they take the next step forward with that program, in year one, they managed to win the Western Division in the Sun Belt, right? So they got to play on the road in the conference title game. But wouldn't it be cool to see first Saturday in December a conference title game at Cajun Field? And that's not completely out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and you know what? To all my friends and cousins in Lafayette and Thibodaux and all that, that you wear your Raising Cajun shirts. When you go to the game and you tailgate, don't stop cooking an hour before game. Get your wife, get your kids, get your tickets ready, and go actually sit down in the game and watch it and not sit outside and watch it on TV. I'm going to challenge people this year, man. Cajun's going to have a good year. If they do that, man, you and I are going out there. Let's just do a live spots or whatever, and let's see who's going to the game and who's not. And we'll call them out on TV. How's that?
Let's put people on blast. That's a really good idea.
I want to call them all out. All my buddies that sat out there, and I'm with John Borderlong, who's a great Cajun, who's, you know, I stood at my Uncle G.A.'s wedding with him. We're trying to hurry up to go to the game, and about 30 guys. I said, man, we get y'all tickets. They're like, no, we got tickets. We're just going to chill out here. That's not going to happen this year. We're getting their ass off that pit. There's beer in the stadium. I'll buy you a damn beer to get you in the stadium. And we need to make some noise and give Billy the support he deserves.
There you go. Look, it's not airport pricing on those beers either. You could throw them back, and it's not bad. I love going to those games.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm challenging these guys, man. I'm gonna figure some stuff out.
I'm gonna end on a different note. And I know you've been in Vegas. Is there any chance that you broke from what you were doing, maybe in the middle of a Drake concert? Did you watch Game of Thrones last night?
Actually, I was going to watch it the night before. Well, when did it come on? That's right, yeah. And I'm with my best friend, Todd Graves, who's a bigger fan than I am. And he won't let me watch it until he does. So I think today at some point we're going to watch it. So I have no clue.
All right. I'm not going to spoil anything for you.
But I heard it's one of the better finales of all time.
All right. I'm catching up. My wife and I started about 4 weeks ago, and we're already through like five seasons. So we've just been blowing and going. Yeah. So within 2 weeks, we can have an intelligent conversation on it.
I heard there was a couple of shots, but I heard it was, you know, a good goodbye.
Fair enough. I hate to say goodbye right now. If you're around Friday, let's talk.
All right, my man. Sounds great.
Ruffin, you're the best. We appreciate it. Enjoy Las Vegas. CD. You kneecapped him right there. I think he was saying go Cajuns. The only person in Las Vegas, Nevada that's saying go Cajuns right now, I guess.
Yeah, I would pretty much put that on good odds there, Ben.
No more cutting Ruffin off until he's completely done. We'll do push-ups in the break. Or you will, at least. All right. I asked him about Game of Thrones because I wanted to tease you with this. And I need to do some deeper digging because this is really surface stuff here. But Michael Mulvihill. I don't know who he is. I just know that he's got the blue check verified next to his name on Twitter. So he's somebody or somebody adjacent. He tweeted out that with 13.6 million live viewers, the Game of Thrones finale would have ranked 71st among all NFL games in live viewership last season. How many people really were watching that bad boy live? We might talk about that a little on the other side. One thing we'll definitely discuss, Magic Johnson. Come on down. We're throwing shade, and this time you're chucking it, not receiving it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and it is better to give than to receive. We'll practice that, and we'll be right back on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Some incredible stats that I'm about to toss your way. And then, well, time to throw a little bit of shade. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. In about 25 minutes, Shamit Dua joins us live from New Orleans to talk Trajan Langdon as the new Pels general manager. You want to call between now and then, we've got time. And we've got a phone. Just call it. 706-0111. How about those stats that I promised? Credit goes to Buster Olney of the Mothership. CD, this was doled out, let's see, yesterday morning. So this would have been given before the Astros played game three of the series versus the Red Sox. And yes, I know, the bad news is that George Springer, who's authored these incredible stats, he was pulled in the fifth inning after uncomfortable swings and a back injury. He's listed as day-to-day. But I want you to consider these Springer stats May 1 through May 18. Two-thirds of a month, roughly. Springer, 25 hits, 8 of them home runs to only 7 strikeouts. Oh, by the way, he's walked 9 times and has scored 20 runs. So George Springer, in 18 days, has done what a lot of players in the game might total within 2 months' time. Absolutely incredible. Here's hoping George Springer and everybody that are injured, and yeah, that's not a short list. Jose Altuve's on it. Here's hoping they're back sooner than later. All right, we got a lot of fun here. And we've actually, well, we've got some sound to let the story be told today. Before we get to it, your daily reminder, no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top-down. It starts with Mark. They're going to sit down, assess your needs, and then help you to create a vision that they'll fulfill. And they can do it before this upcoming football season. They're ready to up your patio game in 2019. But you have to act now. All it takes to start, a quick trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Magic Johnson, good friend of the program. Not long ago, Irvin, we threw shade at you because of the way that you left. And we've even had some longtime NBA people, most notably Brendan Sur last week, who coached on a lot of those Detroit Pistons staffs under Chuck Daly when they played the Lakers. Yeah, you remember those games. Brendan Sur said, I don't care what's going on in the background. You don't leave before the end of the regular season like that. You don't leave without telling your boss face-to-face. But today, Magic's at least telling his side of the story and trying to turn the table. So why don't we start here, Magic? What was the final straw that led to you leaving the Lakers?
I wanted to fire Luke Walton, and we had 3 meetings. I showed her the things he did well and the things he didn't do well. And I said, listen, we got to get a better coach. I like him. He's great. Former Laker, the whole thing. So the first day, well, let's think about it. Second day, okay, you can fire him. Then the next day, no, we should try to work it out. So when we went back and forth like that, and then she brought Tim Harris into the meeting, you know, some of the guys. And Tim, he wanted to keep him because he was friends with Luke. And Luke's a great guy. When I looked up and said, wait a minute, I only really answer to Jeannie Buss. Now I got Tim involved. I said, it's time for me to go. I got things happening that was being said behind my back. I don't have the power that I thought I had to make the decisions. I told them, when it's not fun for me, when I think I don't have the decision-making power that I thought I had, I got to step aside.
And almost all this audio, if I'm not mistaken, coming from First Take this morning. But there's more from the Magic Man. Said his legs were cut out from underneath him. Said he wanted to fire a guy that, oh, by the way, after he left, they fired him. But more from Irvin here. He says that I know who the snake was. And this feels a little Godfather 2-ish, where he kisses his brother at the party and says, I know it was you.
Rob was saying things, Rob Pelinka, and I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on. So I started getting calls from my friends outside of basketball saying those things now were said to them outside of basketball. People got to remember something. Being in this business for over 40 years, I got allies, I got friends everywhere.
Let's get at least one more for Magic Johnson. Here's possibly the best shade. He was warned about Rob Pelinka.
When all this was coming back to me and guys calling me saying, you better watch out for him. And then what was crazy was when I took the job, you know how many agents called me and said, you got to watch out for him. And I said, I got to give the guy a fair chance. You know, I can't listen to people. But he was a hard worker, smart guy. But now you have that position. So I'm good with that.
You have to love it. He did go in on the Pels as well, basically saying that he was told he was dealing in confidence and the Pels linked the information. If that still surprises Irvin, there's a reason he's not in that job anymore. I know he resigned it, but he wouldn't have been long for that world if he still trusted those types of words. But how about magic? Rob Pelinka, you put the knife in my back, and I was told you're not somebody I should have messed with in the first place.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
That snake in the grass, Rob Pelinka. Magic Johnson going on First Take and airing everyone's dirty laundry. Hopefully you enjoyed that. It made my morning. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in, taking your phone calls and wrapping up hour number two. B2BS coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
Iron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
You know, some days you're going to have a bad night. You know, my team has got to focus in their job and I'll do mine.
The Greek Freak, also known as Giannis Antetokounmpo. First time I've actually attempted the full name on the program. I think I nailed the landing. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back with you on 103.7 The Game. And the Bucks did lose for the first time in the Eastern Conference Finals. Going to discuss that a little bit on the West side. And, well, life without KD, not surprisingly, I would say, going pretty well for Golden State. We got time for your phone calls. And we'll keep the NBA theme going. Shamit Dua joins us to lead off our 6 o'clock hour. But get your calls in before then. 706-0111. Yes, Milwaukee let one go. Yes, Giannis had only 12 points in the ball game, which again is a far cry from what he brings. 8 turnovers as well. But you got to give some credit to Toronto. And in particular, the best performer individually from these playoffs so far has absolutely been the Claw. Kawhi Leonard, he not only won Game 7 in the throes of potential defeat, but the guy, offensively, defensively, he's carried Toronto, and it's kind of interesting. I don't know if he returns there, if he's a long-term fit north of the border, but at least this year, Kawhi and Toronto look a whole lot like a lot of those LeBron and Cleveland teams. He has Atlas that damn thing. I mean, he's putting them on their back, his back. It's been impressive to watch. So you give him credit for another outstanding performance last night. But the Bucks still hold a 2-1 lead, and they can blow this thing out the water with a win tomorrow night. If they go up 3-1, they're not going to have to look behind in the rearview mirror. Now, on the other side of things, your Western Conference Finals, it is done. 3-0. Never in the history of the NBA has a team come back from down 0-3 to win an NBA playoff series, not in any round. And so to say that the Blazers are done is an understatement. But the better statement that you can make is that with KD out, Golden State is in tremendous form. And I have to give some credit to the core three. You know, I'm talking about the Splash Brothers and Dre Green. It's amazing how quickly they snap back into pre-KD form. I mean, think about it. We often hear about how teams need an entire offseason to get used to one another. And I'm not sure that this is apples to apples in any way, but look at the Cleveland Browns a little bit right now. The injection of OBJ into their offense, bringing in some additional help at running back, first-year full-time starter from jump in Baker Mayfield, at least knowing he's the starter in the preseason. But even then, those guys are having to learn to play together. Maybe the advantage that Golden State has, they're learning to replay together the way that they used to be without Kevin Durant. Of course, back then, they were also going out there pretty regularly with Harrison Barnes. they had their own kind of team chemistry and makeup. But I said earlier, it's been not surprising that Golden State without KD looks incredible. And they absolutely do. I heard this question asked, I believe, on the Dan Patrick Show earlier, and I completely disagreed with the take. I think it was the Dan Patrick Show, somewhere between 9 and 2. Might have been the Jim Rome Show. Somewhere in the abyss of those programs, the thought was put forth that Milwaukee is truly going to test Golden State without Kevin Durant. I completely and utterly disagree. I think it's going to be run roughshod type of territory. Golden State looks amazing right now. And alphas, who ever so slightly baited themselves, and I do mean ever so slightly, alphas are playing like alphas again. Steph Curry is reminding you that he knows damn good and well how to be Batman. It's in the back pocket whenever he needs it. And Draymond Green is playing like an all-around machine right now. And so this Golden State team may lose a game on the road for fun in Game 4, but then they'll close out Portland, and then they'll get rest, and then they'll lay waste to whoever comes out of the East. I'm betting at this point it's going to be Milwaukee. It's incredible how they look without KD. Let's get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ken, thank you for waiting. What are your thoughts on Golden State?
Well, I want to give kudos to Steve Kerr and the bench. The bench has played outstanding and superior. And the guys had to wait their turn, but they were prepared to play. And they are very outstanding. I never saw this coming from the bench because, you know, people saying, well, the bench is weak, they short, they ain't got all this and that. But that outstanding bench, I'm going to give kudos to them and Coach Kerr.
Well, look, that's a good place to start, right? They went on the road, and they got good performances from Kevin Looney. They got it from Quinn Cook, guys that you don't always hear from in the regular season. You're right. It matters most. Look what they're doing.
Exactly. Thank you.
You got it. And I'll tell you what else is interesting is they started Damian Jones in that ball game. Center that at one point actually prepped here in the state of Louisiana, went to Vanderbilt. Jones played all of 3 minutes and had no statistical contributions on the game. What is my point? It's Ken's point that they had to divvy up a normal starter's minutes over bench performers. Kevin Looney plays 27 minutes in the ballgame. Alphonso McKinney plays 21 minutes in the ballgame and grabs 9 boards. I'm not trying to be facetious. I could not have told you before that game Saturday night who the hell Alphonso McKinney was, and I'm being dead serious here. Sean Livingston, 17 minutes. Jordan Bell, 15 minutes. I mean, they went down the list, and everybody stepped up and contributed. Now, look, stars have to be stars. And Steve Kerr said after that ball game, that's about as good as he's ever seen Draymond Green play. 20 points, 13 boards, 12 assists, and 4 steals. Good night. And so when you get that out of him, 36 out of 2-time MVP Steph Curry, they're in rare form right now, except maybe it's not all that rare. Maybe it's exactly what we were used to when they went to their first few championships without Kevin Durant, won one of them, and went up 3-1 before Draymond punched somebody south of the border in Game 5 and then missed Game 6. I remember. I think you do as well. We got time for another call or two. 706-0111. While we're waiting, going to let you hear a little bit from Steph Curry. I mentioned he had a 36-point night on Saturday. They can close this thing out tonight, and here's Steph Curry's preview of Game 4.
Big opportunity for us to, you know, obviously close out the series, get back to the finals, and take advantage of the little break to get healthy, get bodies refreshed, and understand how difficult it's going to be to win a championship.
I love how routine getting to the finals has become for that Golden State franchise. Yeah, you know, win another game, get back to the finals. This will be 5 straight years. We do it all the time. It's really not a big deal. All it really means is that, you know, May's about to turn to June. This is kind of what we do. And I do expect that they're going to take out whoever rolls in from the East. Maybe it'll be the Bucks. And John is with us and wants to talk about the Bucks. Let's go find him on the Ardco Equipment Hotline. How are you, John?
I'm good. Look, I got to disagree with you. I think the Bucks are too young, too strong and too long. And I think I just think that's going to give Golden State trouble. I think they're going to beat them.
Wow. All right, so right now you would pick Milwaukee over Golden State in the finals.
Yes.
If that happens.
They don't have anyone who could handle Giannis. No one on that team.
I agree with that. But I think a lot of other players on the Bucks are going to have to beat them. And I don't know if Chris Middleton, Josh Brogdon, and some of those other pieces, Ersan Ilyasova, are ready to do that. But, John, I'm excited to watch them get their chance. And if it does happen, you need to call this show and gloat, gloat, gloat. You'll be the only one in a lonely boat, but you'll be rowing fast if they win.
The Pelicans got rid of, what's his name, Mirotić?
Nico Mirotić.
That guy's good.
He's very good. No, he's a very good player. Look, John, I appreciate the call. Nico Mirotić is a very good complimentary player. And I said on this show, again, we can roll the tape back. I said on this show, the day of that trade, I said, all right, well, I look forward to Milwaukee and Golden State in the finals. I said it then. Now, it didn't take a genius to figure out that Golden State was the best team in the league in the West, so they would likely find their path back. But I said it back then. I said, that's a great move. That's the type of midseason move you make if you want to make a move on the Larry O'Brien Trophy. And so I completely saw this coming, and I still think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be Golden State and Milwaukee. Right now, you would have trouble convincing me that that series goes six. That's where I'm at right now. Get to me in a few days. We'll make sure everybody stays healthy. NBA Finals start in exactly 10 days on Thursday, May the 30th. But John says he likes the Bucks' chances in that series. I agree. Probably not anybody's going to routinely D up on Giannis, but man, outside of that, who's going to beat Golden State? Who could step up and do that on the other side? I think we're going to get a chance to find out. And that, in and of itself, hey, that part is fairly exciting. All right, we're coming up on our second hour finale. Yeah, that would be this minute. And when we return, Shamit Dua. Speaking of the Pelicans, yeah, they got rid of Nico Mirotić. Since then, all they're doing is bringing in winners. The latest, Trajan Langdon as the GM serving at the behest of Griff. That would be David Griffin. We'll talk all about that and plenty more. AD, does he stay? Best trade partners for the Pelicans? And how much joy did Magic Johnson bagging on Rob Pelinka bring Shamit Dua? We'll ask him on the other side of this break. And everything is leading it closer to Astros v. Chi Sox. 7:10 first pitch from the Juice Box. We're bringing you to Astro Launch at 6:35. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the 237 Roof.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Here we go. Ready to ride into hour number three. Yeah, we got some Astros baseball coming at you within the hour, at least to play at 6:35. Astro Launch will begin. But for now, it's still Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. That means it's Ben Love, the famous Clint D. From inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing, we have been busy today, and yet we haven't checked in on one of your major storylines. At least we haven't gotten inside perspective on Trajan Langdon becoming the new general manager of the New Orleans Pelicans. And wow, they keep stacking chips right now with David Griffin. I like the way this guy is operating. And I like the way our next guest typically operates. Let's get aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline. And it's time to bring back on Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. Shamit, welcome back to the program. I know, again, it's been an eventful time for the Pels. Glad we have you to document everything. How the heck are you today?
I am doing fantastic, Ben. How are you?
Things are okay here. I just want to dive into the latest. And that is, what, a GM. And already there's help for David Griffin. He not only went out and poached the best, or at least one of the best training staffs, head trainers in the NBA from the Phoenix Suns, but we learned in the last 24 hours that Trajan Langdon is coming to town. He's been an assistant GM, I believe, with the Brooklyn Nets. We remember his career, especially coming out of Duke, a multiple-time All-American. How big of a coup is this for New Orleans?
I think it's a huge coup. Trajan Langdon is a guy who has been a finalist for many GM jobs over the last 2 years, and even most recently, he interviewed with New Orleans. He was interviewing with Minnesota. He was interviewing with Washington. So he's a guy that's been very much in demand and is a hot name on the market. So the fact that Griffin was able to go out and sell him on the vision, and I'm sure winning the lottery contributed to that, but being able to get a guy like Trajan is absolutely huge for the organization.
Well, let's dig a little deeper there. Are you suggesting that maybe Langdon had options and that in some ways he needed to be sold that this was his best option?
I do think that he was shopping around, but at the end of the day, I think he may have come around to New Orleans being the best option anyway, just because of a previous relationship he's had with Griffin working under him in Cleveland, just knowing that Gail Benson is committed as an owner and willing to dedicate resources to the franchise and the overall trajectory of this franchise pointing upwards. Now, I don't think there was a need for a tiebreaker or anything for Trajan, but I do think that maybe, you know, if a deal was waiting to happen later, winning the lottery may have sealed the deal, so to speak, in the sense that, wow, we get a chance to work with a guy like Zion.
Shamit Dua, our guest, and he puts it down all the time as part of BourbonStreetShots.com. Check out the website. All right, one more on Trajan Langdon. What do you think he's best known for in this capacity? Not as a player, I think we all remember him at Duke, but what do you think he's done that kind of are his skins on the wall to this point in the front office?
As an executive, he has an extensive background in scouting. He used to be a former player in Europe, and he's still a legend there from his playing days, but because of his connections in Europe, he has some of the best scouting networks there. He was responsible for the Brooklyn Nets whole scouting department. He set them up top to bottom. He also recently won Executive of the Year for the G League, so he's a huge addition in terms of any developmental progress the Pelicans want to make from an external standpoint by scouting, you know, players internationally and even locally, but as well as putting them in a developmental process in the G League.
Shamit, this question's been asked to me, so I'm passing the buck to you, amigo. Does this, in any positive or negative way, affect Alvin Gentry and his job security? Because things seem to be going pretty well between Griffin and Gentry. Is this going to change any of that for any reason?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the buck still stops at Griff, and they have a tremendous relationship. And I think even when Trajan was interviewing for the New Orleans job solo, the Alvin was a huge component of that interview, and I think ownership likes him as well. So I think everyone in the organization is on the same page with Alvin.
So everybody wants to know what's going to happen next. They assume, as well as, you know, me, I assume that Zion Williamson will be the number one overall pick, and he'll wear the Pelicans uni. After that, I do think it's a bit of a mystery, and there's an opportunity maybe to try and hold on to AD, maybe make a run through the All-Star break, show him what the potential in the future looks like. But if they are to succumb to a trade partner, say before a month from today, right, June 20 is the start of the NBA draft, or it is the NBA draft, I can't really put my finger, Schmidt, on who the best trade partner may be, because I thought it was the Knicks, and then there's reports that they don't love Kevin Knox. There are also reports that Gail Benson said, we'll trade AD to the Lakers over my dead body, which she kind of walked back a little bit. Boston looms as an interesting possibility, but their first pick this year is 14. So when you assess those three in particular, do any of them still feel likely to you at this point?
I still think Boston has been the front runner, and I still think they're in the driver's seat if they want to commit to Davis. It's on them if they are feeling confident enough with their Kyrie situation. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to view trading for Davis as trading for Kyrie as well. So that being said, I think they can offer a very interesting package that includes Jason Tatum, who is just a second-year player and has shown tremendous talent, Jaylen Brown, who again is another young versatile player, as well as they can include up to four picks without really dipping into any of their future picks. And that includes the Kings pick that they own this year, which is number 14, the Clippers pick that they own, which is number 20, as well as their own pick, which is 22, and then Memphis's pick the following year. which projects to be a really good pick because Memphis wasn't so great this year. They'll continue to be rebuilding around the number two pick that they're going to draft in this upcoming draft. So they can potentially put together a package that is very attractive in terms of young talent, but also future draft capital.
That's some really good points with the amount of future draft capital, as you put it, they can provide. My next question is a follow-up. Will you have to wait until after the draft to be able to accomplish this with Boston, understanding that maybe the Kyrie thing doesn't get worked out over the next 30 days?
No, I think it's in everyone's best interest to have an agreement in place by draft night before those picks have names attached to them. I think that every party, including the Pelicans and any other team that they may want to deal with, wants to get the Davis situation resolved before hitting free agency, so they already have Davis in hand to suit any attractive free agents that they want to go after.
Talking Pels and leading into the NBA draft with Shamit Dua, a great follow on Twitter. If you haven't done this already, correct your error, at Fear the Brown. All right, so I mentioned the idea of the Lakers and the Knicks. Is one or both of those kind of maybe sliding into obscurity when it comes to a potential trade partner for AD?
So I think the Lakers definitely did themselves a favor by jumping up in the lottery from 11 to 4. That being said, I still don't think any of their young players are good fits with Zion going forward. None of them project to be good shooters by any measure, and you definitely want to surround Zion with good shooters. I think the Knicks probably have the best individual asset in the number three pick, but beyond that, their assets are kind of iffy. So if Boston truly doesn't want to throw their hat into the race in a full capacity, I think the Knicks can edge out the Lakers, but they're pretty even in terms of packages they can offer. I think the Pelicans can have, if they're not happy with any of the pieces they get, they can turn around and flip them to perhaps a third team that would be interested in some of those players, like Lonzo Ball, for instance.
So, okay, from your perspective, convincing AD to stay in New Orleans, is it really as simple as convincing the player, or do you have to somehow or the other break bread with Clutch Sports Management to make this happen? Because for me, that would be the sticking point. I'm not sure that they're flexible in this deal at all.
So I trust David Griffin on this one. I trust that he has a great relationship with Clutch Sports. And in his defense, you know, Griffin wasn't around the past 7 years. Griffin wasn't around this past February when everything was going down. Griffin has done nothing to sort of create any bad blood. I mean, he's maintained a really good relationship with Clutch, and the pitch really has to be that, hey, we understand that you wanted out from this franchise. This isn't the franchise that you were a part of for your whole career. We have a completely new management situation. We have a completely new training staff situation. We have the number one pick, and we're going to continue to add players and staff members that will help us achieve the goal that you're committed towards, which is winning. And that's really has to be the pitch. And I think there is a fair chance Davis looks at all that and realizes, hey, not only that, I can make the most money possible and get the biggest contract in NBA history. So it's an attractive option, especially if you look at what's happening with the Lakers. I mean, if you turn on ESPN today, you have Magic Johnson spewing all kinds of details about what goes on behind the scenes.
Isn't it fun watching them basically fall on their own sword right now? You got to be enjoying this at least a little bit, Shamit.
Oh, yeah. It's daily entertainment for me. I can't believe this has been going on for months now.
They're feeding all of our basketball souls. All right, I'll get you out of here on this one. We've got the NBA Finals that are coming up. They're going to begin, I believe, next Thursday on the 30th. What else do you think is important between now and June 20. Obviously, we're going to figure out if the Pels get a trade in, but I found it interesting. They stuck around, and it was encouraging that they stuck around and did some of their due diligence for the NBA scouting combine. I guess anything you took away from that and how they're preparing themselves to pick in a lot of different places maybe in this draft?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. They have to be ready for a possibility where they have multiple picks in this draft, and they could be at any different position. So they really have to be prepared in looking at each individual range, but also investigating how other teams feel about those picks and seeing that maybe if they can flip those picks for players that maybe fit a timeline or a need that the Pelicans are looking for. I think that's obviously important. You're gonna hear about workouts soon. It's gonna be workout season where each team hosts XYZ players in pre-draft workouts. So that's going to be interesting. I think an unofficial date to sort of watch out there for is this Anthony Davis meeting. I expect it to happen sometime within the next week or so, and I expect them to release reports saying that it went well, because I think that's going to work in everyone's favor, even if Davis hasn't changed his mind. I think this is going to be a pretty strong leverage play that the Pelicans are going to try to make. But, you know, we'll see. But it's something to watch for.
He is Shamit Dua, and he is a bit of a soothsayer, right? So we get a prediction for the future there. You can and should read his work, bourbonstreetshots.com. And you're also a mod. I didn't mention this in the lead, Shamit, for NBA Reddit. Is that just one of the craziest places online that exists?
Oh, it is absolutely unreal. I mean, we have over, I think we're approaching 2 million subscribers now. I don't know if we've beat that number yet, but the level of activity there, the level of memes, the level of discussion, it's outside of Twitter, it's absolutely enormous.
And it's just gold. I've been there before. I didn't know it was 2 million, but that's incredible. Shamit, thank you again for doing this. Enjoy the rest of this NBA playoff season.
Yep, you too. Thank you, Ben.
There you have it. The latest on one of the real great success stories in the New Orleans area. I know, the Saints just made it to within a whisker of the Super Bowl, but still, what the Pels are doing, it's palpable, and you can absolutely feel it. All right, feel me on this as we head to a break. This is B2BS, and on Mondays, we're brought to you in large part by Relief Windows. When you think Relief Windows, think windows, doors, and siding in Acadiana. The website is reliefwindows.com, and give them a call today at a local area code 337-456-1699. They carry gelled wood windows available in multiple styles and colors, always custom built specifically for your home. You can visit the showroom, but you can also go online to reliefwindows.com, see samples, color options, and then get the type of wood windows that aren't going to succumb to wood rot and insect damage because of the Orlast technology. Again, that's Relief Windows, local number 456-1699. We're coming right back in, and oh boy, it's about to get weird. The famous Clint D made a whole show out of this on Saturdays under the dome. Still a part of B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Protect your quarterback or cover downfield.
But it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in from break. Well, not one final time, but one full segment for the final time. This is B2BS to you. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Big week for the program. Not just because we get to interview people like Shamit Dua, not just because we have great topics on the reg, but we're taking our show on the road not once but twice. Thursday, B2BS will be live at the Tap Room River Ranch. Excited to be back at our favorite Thursday haunt. But don't forget, Friday, Bumper to Bumper Sports is live at Minute Maid Park. Awfully excited for that. I'm going to suggest you should be as well. From 4 to 6:30, we'll get you ready for a rematch of the ALCS. Astros versus Red Sox, already confirmed. We're going to have appearances from Reed Ryan. He's the president of baseball operation for the Astros. And yeah, Nolan's son. We'll also have Richard Justice back on from MLB.com. Plenty of players as well. A special edition of B2BS. Live on 103.7 The Game from Minute Maid Park, and it's coming at you this Friday, that special broadcast courtesy of Ardco Equipment. I'm really fired up about that. Again, I'll suggest you should be as well. Enough of me. Clint basically begged me before the program, look, I don't get enough of Under the Dome on Saturdays. Inject it right back into everyone's bloodline from a bumper-to-bumper sports standpoint. Brother, I can oblige. I have no idea what you're even about to talk about. So I'm blindfolded here. I don't know the subject. Hopefully I'll be dumbfounded in a moment. What you got for us?
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge. Oh, man, it is just a wonderful time to be a fan of college baseball. It is tournament week. You get to determine who's going to wind up getting there, who's punching a ticket. And when we look at the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, pretty much anybody in the Sun Belt, you need to have everything going for you heading into this week, because if you don't win, you're not getting into the tournament, especially this year. And when it comes to the Raging Cajuns, they've got an uphill climb and then some. But I think they can wind up pulling off some really cool stuff. Not necessarily win the tournament, but I think they can get out of that playing game and start causing some chaos, shocking the system, if you will. And I'm loving what I've seen from this offense more than anything as of late. That's the big thing for me, is the Louisiana Raging Cajuns offense needs to be at the highest possible level. And I feel like they are getting there. They've started to hit that peak. Tony Robichaud last week, he talked a little bit about the hitting system that they've been using and trusting into that process. Seems like Tony Robichaud, a big fan of the Philadelphia 76ers and their process, what they've got going on. Honestly, I absolutely love the idea of having a process in place and having a hitting system in place for a program that definitely hasn't had the offense get going and catch fire at the right time. Because you look at a lot of the series they've had, like Texas State, UT Arlington, those series, the hitting wasn't necessarily all there. We're seeing the offense have a little bit of a resurgence after you saw Matt Deggs bounce out, go to Sam Houston State. We're starting to see that turn around now. We're starting to see that offense step up at a very high clip. And honestly, I absolutely love it. This is probably going to be one of the coolest things heading into the next couple of weeks to see what happens, or next couple of days, I should say. Is you don't win, you go home. You win, you move on, and get to have one heck of a time in Conway, South Carolina for at least a few more days. And honestly, I think they can wind up making a run because of one reason and one reason only. It's the offense. Hayden Cantrell, Todd Lott, and Orton Vaillant, all three of them got named to the All-Sun Belt Conference teams. There's a reason why there are three offensive players. You don't have any of the pitchers in there because there's been a lot of inconsistency at that position. Jack Burke could have been one. I feel like Brandon Young, if you want him not having that shoulder injury, didn't come on as early. I feel like he could have had a solid case, especially after that 13-strikeout performance. But there's always been that one constant, that offense. The offense has started to catch fire as of late in the month of May. And I feel like if that offense can catch fire, I really like the Cajuns' chances of at least getting a decent run in the postseason. But at the end of the day, you still need a win to punch your ticket to the NCAA tournament and try and make a run towards Omaha, which I know everybody wants to go to. But, man, it's an uphill climb for the Cajuns. And honestly, I'm just looking forward to being part of the ride.
There you have it. Clint, I knew you would deliver the goods. We got to deliver this thing and head toward our final break in today's program. Don't forget, we've got Astros baseball when we're done today. And they go from playing one of the best teams in the league to one that's wildly mediocre, but still within the AL. Stros did lose a nail-biter yesterday at Fenway, but before that, they rattled off their second 10-game winning streak of the season. This is still a team at 31-16, the Houston Astros, that are awfully hot. And they're starting a set with the Chicago White Sox. They're playing at Minute Maid again tonight, 7:10 is your first pitch. As soon as Clint and I are done, in a couple of minutes here, we'll send you there for Astro Launch. And your starters tonight, Ryan Burr for the White Sox, 1-0 on the season. He's been through 16 2/3 innings, so still a little bit on the green side. And for the Astros, a bit of a pleasant surprise in the starting rotation. Brad Peacock gets the pill tonight. He is 4-2 on the year, an ERA just north of 4, 41 strikeouts to 14 walks. So certainly they've been able to rely on Peacock when needed this season. Stros looking to get it done before this weekend, when, of course, they will host the Boston Red Sox for a 3-game set from the Juice Box. All right, I told you we had to deliver this thing to a break. I wasn't lying. And Clint's saying now you need to hustle along. So here we go, and we'll come back with a World's Shortest Segment audition. Boy, we love doing this. You're listening to Bumper Sports, and we're coming right back in quick, fast, and in a hurry on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We'll be right back.
Sports Radio update starts now.